Diana.
Now, have you ever listened to a piece of music or speech and not heard the same thing as the other people around you? Or others around you have understood a sound when all you've heard is noise? It's definitely happened to me. And have you ever noticed that when you first walk into a busy pub or bar, you struggle to hear the person you're with, yet after a few minutes, you can hear that person clearly? Well, these changes and differences in our hearing all fit into the field of auditory illusions. And this week, Mira Senthilingham met up with Dr. Bob Carlyon from the Medical Research Council's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit to find out how our hearing can create illusions.
Well, I think a sort of simple way of thinking about how we process sound is that the brain's a bit like a tape recorder. So we start off hearing a sound from the beginning, go through to the end, and we pretty much get a veridical representation of what's going on. But a lot of the time, the sound coming to us is ambiguous because the sound is often obscured by other sounds or affected by context. That sometimes we can hear two sounds which are physically identically the same, but perceive them as being quite different from each other.
So these are things then that we hear in our everyday lives, really, then that count as these illusions.
That's right. And sometimes we find that simply knowing what we're listening to can actually affect whether we hear something accurately or indeed at all. We can sometimes find that the percept of a sound will change over time. And sometimes we find that bits of a sound are missing because there are other people talking or people clattering in the background or a plumber banging on a radiator. And we find that the brain is capable of filling in this missing information.
We're going to look at a couple of examples of these illusions now, and the first one we're kicking off with is one that I actually helped you make earlier in the week.
That's right, yeah. So Mira sent me a recording of her saying a very important question, which I think faces us all today. And what we've done is we've processed this in a way which severely distorts it. So we'd just like to play this to you and see if you can figure out what Mira is saying. So this is actually speech which has been processed in a way which simulates the information available to a deaf patient with a cochlear implant. But of course, in everyday life, we hear lots of other types of distortions. For example, if you're trying to listen to a platform announcement at a railway station in the United Kingdom, you'll be aware that there's often huge amounts of reverberation and distortion, which makes sounds really hard to listen to. And quite often, even if you get two or three or four chances to hear it, you don't really do any better at picking up what's being said. So if we now play you the sound which has not been distorted in Mira's original form.
Are the naked scientists really naked? OK, and then so having listened to the real version, can we listen to the distorted one again?
Absolutely.
And I bet most of our listeners now must be actually understanding what I said in the first place. And I just need to answer that no, the naked scientists aren't naked, but I thought that was a good way to get the question answered out there. So distorted speech, what does this really tell you about the way we hear things?
The distorted signal which was reaching your ears, because the information was greatly degraded, could in fact correspond to one of a number of different utterances. And so it's quite hard for the brain to map it onto all of these individual utterances and to try and decide which is the correct one. But once you've got the right information, you're just doing a simple one-to-one mapping.
This kind of thing, it could not even matter how many times you hear it. It's really just a knowledge of what it says beforehand that can really help you to understand it.
That's right, yeah. I think what's quite interesting is that when you do that, it's not that you hear the sound and then tens of seconds later you figure out what it must have been. The percept really does just pop out at you as something like a true percept, and it's then quite hard to imagine how you ever failed to understand what was being said in the first place.
And why do you think our hearing works like this?
Well, it's simply because the information with which we're presented with is often highly ambiguous and distorted. And in real life, we know that our brains, of course, do have lots of information, whether it's about the nature of the language we're speaking to or about the familiarity we have with the person's voice or what words are likely simply to follow one from the other. And so it would obviously make sense for the brain to use the information which it has. What's quite interesting, as I say, is that it doesn't feel like your brain's really using that information when you're listening to these sounds and to lots of other illusions we have. The sounds seem perfectly natural and convincing, which is, of course, the way it should be. You wouldn't really want every time that your input was a bit distorted to think, oh, wasn't that clever how I managed to do that? You want it to be natural and straightforward.
Now, another illusion you have is more about kind of our attention and how much attention we're paying to what we're hearing.
That's right, yeah. So there's an interesting sequence of sounds which is often used to study how we perceive melodies in music or how we organise things sequentially, for example, tracking one person's voice in the presence of another. And the sequence is actually quite simple. It's just a repeating sequence of tones in of frequencies A and B, and they go in this sort of little galloping rhythm or repeating rhythm, A, B, A, A, B, A. But what we find is that for most people, if you listen to that sequence repeating over and over again for a few seconds, you lose the galloping percept, and it sort of splits into two streams, each of which sounds a little bit like Morse code.
Yes, you really can notice the two tones, and it kind of just sounds like an engaged tone over the phone or something.
That's right, yes, and it's used in a slightly more interesting concept by composers of polyphonic music who want to have one instrument playing two melodies. So provided you alternate sort of sequences of notes which are quite far apart in frequency fast enough, then you can play two melodies with a single instrument.
So I guess in situations like that, though, which one's the illusion or which one's correct, or are they both just correct and it just depends how much attention you're paying to what you're listening to?
Well, it certainly depends on how much attention you're paying, because what we've shown is that if you divert somebody's attention for the first part of a longish sequence, either by playing another sound or giving them something to look at or even asking them to count backwards in threes, that what we find is that when they start paying attention to the sounds again, it's like they'd just started. In other words, they would hear the galloping rhythm even though the sequence has been on for some length of time.
Okay, so Bob, you've used all of these kind of samples of different illusions and experimented with quite a number of people. Mm-hmm. So what can you actually take away from this now, and what have you learnt about human hearing?
Well, I think there's a few points. I think one of them is that the brain can use its top-down knowledge about the world and about what we're saying to affect what we hear and to deal with missing information, such as when sounds are momentarily masked. We can use the way we attend to sounds to affect the way in which we hear them. And we can even use sounds which are later on in a sequence to affect the way in which we perceive sounds occurring earlier on. In many automatic speech recognition algorithms, such as you might hear when you're on the phone to your bank, these systems don't use that information, and we know that they're notoriously susceptible to interfering noise or different accents. So despite all those technological advantages, we're much better than even the best computer programs.
Glad to hear that it will be many years yet before the machines take over. That was Dr. Bob Carlyon, and if you heard me say otherwise before the interview, then it was an auditory illusion. And he's from the MRC's Cognition and Brain Sciences Unit, explaining to Mira St. Thillingham why the sounds we hear can differ and appear to be illusions.
Laying the facts bare.
I say.
The Naked Scientists.